Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus.
For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all.
For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty.
Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool.
For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great King over all the earth.
And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
Amen. Church, let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you so much that we serve a great God. One that we can just open up the Word of God and just see how magnificent and how awesome he is. God, be with us today as we dive into the Word of God, as we hear from you today. We ask that you would change us in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. What a privilege. I'm going to try sitting down today. We're going to see how that goes. What a privilege it is and what a necessity it is to sing and speak and read about the greatness and the awesomeness of God. He's the God that is at work in all the details that are around us. He's the God that is able to do more than we can comprehend. He's the God that has given us his word. He's the God that spoke the world into creation, the one that parted the seas and walked on the waters and told the storm to cease. He's the God that conquered death and sin and the God that's going to reign forever and ever. And he has no beginning and no end. He's the victor and the great I am. Great is our God. Amen, church. Amen. And so when we open up God's word, we read about this power and the majesty and the love and the sovereignty of God. And we get to see all of who God is. In Psalm 23, we read that he's even described as our shepherd. This mighty God is described as our shepherd. He leads us. He protects us. He provides for us. He restores us. And he is all those things and he does all those things. But at the same time, he is also great and mighty and powerful. And one that we just have to step back and be in awe of him. And our God deserves our ultimate and authentic praise. This morning, if you don't have a Bible, there's one at the end of your row. If you need a Bible, just get your hand up and we'll make sure we get a Bible to you. But I'm going to ask you to join me in the book of Psalm, right there in the middle of the Bible. And look at chapter 145. Psalm, did I want to say that right? Psalm 145. The whole book of Psalm is known as the book of praise. But this chapter is the only psalm out of the whole book of Psalm with the actual title, a psalm of praise. And we want to reflect on that this morning, a psalm of praise. What does real praise to an authentic, all-powerful, all-deserving, great God look like? And in its entirety, the heading says this. It says, a psalm of praise of David. A psalm of praise of David. David is the author that God used to write this passage. We looked last week at 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we know that all Scripture is inspired by God. It's God-breathed, and he used David to write this passage. I don't know how much you guys know about David, but he authored about 70, I think it was 73 chapters just in this book. He's the man that is described in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and also in Acts chapter 13. Let me see if you guys know what I'm going to say here. He's a man that's known after God's own heart. Way to go, man. That's double points. You guys are good, man. But he was a guy that we can relate to. You hear somebody in the Bible that's known after he's a man after God's own heart, right? And you look at him, you're like, man, you must be a really spiritual dude, but he's a guy that we can relate to. He loved the Lord with all of his heart, but he was also messed up, right? He He sinned. He was jacked up. He did things in his life he shouldn't do. He was continually getting caught in sin, but he consistently turned back to God. Consistently turned back to God, and he repents. Man, he owned up to his mistakes. But throughout his life, he shows that he has a heart that wants to praise God and serve God and obey God. He's a man that consistently sees and lifts up the praises to a God that continually restores him even when he messes up. He's a God that remains unchanged and faithful and holy. So this morning, we're going to read together. You guys would join me in Psalm chapter 145. It's a longer one, so I'm not going to ask you to stand up. We normally stand up, but I'm just going to read it this morning. David writes, "I extol you or exalt you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and shout joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of your majesty of the majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations." Verse 14, "The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy." Verse 21, he closes by saying, "My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever." As we walk through this psalm, we get to see this ever-increasing amount of praise given to our great God. At the beginning, in the first part of this, it's David, right? It's David talking about his praise, and then he's joined by others. And then we're going to see that all of creation joins in. All of creation joins in. So we're going to divide it into those sections this morning. And the first we see is David's personal praise. David's personal praise. He begins with his own heart and his own relationship with the Lord. Look at the first three verses. Just in the first three verses, if you got your Bible, we're not going to read them all again, but he says these things. He says, "I will extol you or exalt you." He says, "I will bless your name. I will bless you. I will praise your name." Keep this in mind. David is this great king of Israel, right? And he begins by saying this, "I will extol you. I will lift you up. I will exalt you. I will set you on high, my God, O King." Here we see a man after God's heart and recognizing God's greatness. Keep in mind, this is David. You guys know about David? He's David that has killed animals with his bare hands as a shepherd. The same David that killed Goliath, this giant of a man as a young boy, and the same king that led his army to victory in battles and led the nation of Israel. And he, that king, is recognizing and putting the attention on his king. On his king. So yes, David was king over Israel, but God was king over David and all of creation. So he writes that, he says, "I'm going to lift you up and I'm going to bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever." David's praise to his great God was not only done in some kind of religious setting. We can slip into that mode, can't we? Where we kind of save our spiritual time for Sunday morning. Right, we can slip into that mode a little bit where we only praise God or worship God or sing to God or read his word or do anything related to God on Sunday morning. But for him, for David, and for us, it's to be a yesterday, today, and tomorrow type of thing, right? When we reflect on God's greatness. And I love what he says in verse 3. He says this, he says, "Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." His greatness is unsearchable. So you look at the book of Job, and it describes this really well. I'm going to read three passages from the book of Job. They'll be up on the screen. Job chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. "But as for me, I would seek God, and I would place my cause before God, who does great and what, church? Unsearchable things, wonders without number." Then a few chapters over in chapter 9, verse 10, speaking of God, he says, "Who does great things, unfathomable, and wondrous works without number." Chapter 11, verses 7 through 9. "Can you discover the depths of God? Can you discover the limits of the Almighty? They are as high as the heavens. What can you do? They deeper than Sheol. What can you know? Its measure is longer than the earth and broader than the sea." Job and David are both reminding us of God's greatness, and that it's unsearchable. What do we do, church? You can answer this one. What do we do when we want to look up something? We run to Google, right? Google cannot Google all the greatness of God. It's unsearchable. It's infinite. I think about our solar system. Anybody a fan of just looking out at the stars? You have to be if you live in Tucson, man. Otherwise, move to somewhere like a smog city or something. It's just beautiful. You step out there and you just look at the stars. And I think about our solar system. And there's so much more than we can even see. Right? I mean, when we look up there, we're just seeing like a glimpse of what there is. And we continue, like our scientists, they continue to study space and continue to learn more about another star or another planet or another galaxy. And they're continuing to learn and learn and learn, right? It's almost like it's unsearchable. But here's the thing. We begin to see the beginning of God's greatness when we look at that. Because God being the creator, he's more unsearchable than the universe that he created. And church, when we realize just how big and how great God is, and really that we can't even fathom how big he is. You guys get that? Like, we can't even fathom how big God is. When we start to even think about that, it changes us. It changes us. It changes how we live. It changes what we sing. It changes how we live life. And David writes this psalm of praise. His praise is his heart's response to the greatness of God. Our praise is to be our heart's response to the greatness of God. Our adoration, David's adoration for him, flows out of a personal relationship with God. When we think about God's greatness and our response to him, when we praise him, here's the thing. I love our worship team. By the way, they're doing a great job, right? There we go. But our praise doesn't begin with vocals and a guitar. When we walk into this room, our praise doesn't begin at 10:30 with a room full of people. Our praise doesn't even begin when we get in the car and turn on K-Love or whatever we're jamming out to. Our praise to our great God begins in the heart of each and every individual as they express their gratitude for their relationship with the Creator and how big he is. And as we read of David being in awe and in love with the fact that the Almighty God wants a personal relationship with him. Here's the thing. David was a powerful dude. Right? And we look at him and David's just like, "Man, I'm in awe that you even want to have anything to do with me." God wants to be his shepherd. He wants to be his Lord. This mighty God wants to be in his life. And so he can't stop rejoicing due to the fact that this great God, this God that's greatness is unsearchable, is so personal. Isn't that awesome? When we think about the God that created the universe, he's personal. God isn't that distant, mean guy with the long beard and the cane up there ready to smack us. That's just not God. We do him disservice when we look at God that way. Are you guys with me? Man, God is, he's not disconnected. He's involved in each life and cares about each life. This room is full of individual people that God loves and has shown his greatness to. If you're in this room today, God loves you and he has shown his greatness to you. And when we praise him, when we lift him on high, when we bless him, we do these things because it is our heart's response to who he is. It's our response to his greatness. When we realize God to be so great, we can't stop talking about it. It fills us up. It overwhelms us. So we exalt him personally. Your heart's response, my heart's response to God and His greatness is to praise Him personally. And you know, the crazy thing about David is this. His life wasn't perfect. It's not like he had everything in order and his life was just great, so he's just sitting back and saying, God, my life is great, so you're going to get all the praise. No, his life was messed up. He had sin in his own life. It was full of valleys and loss. He lost loved ones. He was chased and pursued to be killed. He had problems with his family, with his sons. He had battles with sin in his life. Anybody can relate to that, right? Amen? Right? We can relate to that. His life was far from being perfect. But he knew that he served a God that was great and loved him and pursued him. And so he can praise him. And so we can gather here today. And we can praise God. We can live our lives. We can sing because God and His greatness has filled our hearts with praise. And I just want to lay this out there for you. You might say, man, I just don't feel like praising right now. I'm in a pretty dark place, right? You might be struggling in different areas, but David is a perfect example of that. He's got a lot of darkness and stuff going on in his life, and he's just been able to say, God, you're still worthy of all my praise because you are that good. And he talks about we need to reflect on God to see His greatness. Personally, I love singing songs about God's love, and I love singing songs about His, you know, how He cares about me and His personal relationship with me. Those seem to be the songs that are like big right now on K-Love. Those are the songs, the personal relation songs. But I have got to spend some time in song praising God for His might and His power and His greatness. Are you guys with me? Man, we got to spend some time doing that. The lovey-dovey stuff is good. You know, getting a hug from Jesus is all good. I love all of that. But God is big, and He is great, and we need to sing of that. So David says in verse 2, he says, I will praise your name forever and ever. The psalm begins personally with David. And then, as we said earlier, we're going to see an ever-increasing amount of praise given to a great God. So it's first with David personally, and then we see how others join in. Look at verse 4. It says this, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. David is writing this, expecting that, and really knowing that God's greatness will be passed on and talked about and praised for years, actually for eternity. His great works, His mighty acts, they must be told to the next generation. So it begins with us, it begins in our heart, and then it flows out of us and it's passed on to others. We get the privilege to do that, church. We get the privilege to pass on who God is to others. God says, I'm big, I'm the creator of all things, I'm going to do magnificent things, even though you all jacked up and brought sin into my beautiful world, I'm still coming for you, right? And then when He descends, He says, I'm going to do something big, I'm going to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth, and guess who's going to be a part of that? You, the ones that are sinners, the ones that need to know who God is, and we get to be a part of that. We have the privilege to pass on who God is to our children, to our friends, to our families, to those around us. It's always helpful to reflect, and it's helpful to ask ourselves, when was the last time I told my friend, my kids, my family? When was the last time I told anybody about God? When was the last time I told anybody about the greatness of God and what He did in my life? I think about our hobbies, right? We have hobbies, right? Tell me some hobbies, three people, hobbies. Woodworking, reading, what is it? Welting, quilting. I don't know. Quilting. All right. Quilting. I think about our hobbies, and we have sports teams, right? We love our sports teams and our favorite movies. For me, I was born and raised in Kansas City, Missouri, right? I'm a big Jayhawk guy. Don't hate me. Don't throw anything at me. I still like U of A. Don't worry. I'm a big Chiefs fan. I love the Royals, the Kansas. You guys with me? No? All right. Here's the thing. My boys know who the Jayhawks are. My boys, they know who the Chiefs are. They know who the Royals are. I remember after, I don't know, 1,000 years of them never making it back to the World Series. Oh, man. I don't even know what to say to that, man. It's been forever since the Royals went to the World Series, and 2 years in a row they go, and then they win. My boys know who they are. I remember watching the Royals in the World Series a few years back with Jackson Brody, my boys. And here's the thing. They're plugged in. They're looking at the screen, and they're looking at me. They're looking at the screen, and they're looking at me. They see something happen. How is Daddy reacting, right? That's what they're doing, right? They're plugged in, and they're cheering. Why? Because Daddy was. That's why. And because Daddy had told them how great the Royals were. Right? You're going to have to stop laughing. All right? The Royals. Well, they were for a couple years. All right? We are certain to pass things on to others. The greatness of things that we're passionate about. We do that. We pass things on to others, whether it's a sports team, whether it's a hobby, we pass them on with the hopes that they're going to love those things like we love them. My boys know that I love my teams. I'm passionate about it. I'm intentional about it. And all of that's great. It makes for fun. It makes life enjoyable. It makes good for good family and friend fun time. But these things fail in comparison to the greatness of our God. Everything that you do, everything you like, everything we love fails in comparison to the greatness of God. In fact, they don't even show up on the scale. Everything. Our reading, our woodworking, our welding and quilting together at the same time, our sports teams, our jobs, whatever we're good at, whatever we want to pass on to our kids, they fail in comparison. They don't even show up on the scale compared to the greatness of God. But we're sure that we pass those things on. But let's not miss it. And I think it's okay to pass those things. It's fun, right? But let's not miss it when it comes to God and His greatness. David is really saying, be intentional. Be intentional. Let's be intentional, church. Don't hold back. Tell your kids, tell your family, tell your friends, tell others about the greatness of God. Look, a little writer right here. That's the greatness of God. We look at how God brought us here. That's the greatness of God. We look at that we are messed up, jacked up sinners, and Jesus came and pursued us and died for us while we were still sinners, right? That's the greatness of God. Everything else fails in comparison. And so it begins with us. It begins in our heart. And then it flows out. Make sure your friends and your family and your kids and your neighbors, make sure they know it. Make sure they see that you love God and that they hear you talk about His greatness. He says, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty act. It doesn't stay bottled up. David says, share it. We want others to praise with us, right? We want others to praise with us. Verse 6, men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. Verse 7, they shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. I like that a lot. They eagerly utter the memory of God's abundant goodness and they shout joyfully of His righteousness. This isn't a forced celebration. To eagerly utter carries the meaning in the Greek to flow. It means to pour or gush out. Young people, it means to belch. That's what it means. Verse 5, David says, on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works, I will meditate. Check this out. Just watch what happens. David is meditating. He's remembering and he's pondering on God. He's studying and meditating on God's majesty and His wonderful works. He's thinking about what great things were passed down to him. And what things he had witnessed God do. And the thoughts of God's goodness, they just flowed out of him. They eagerly came out of him like a belch. You all know what I'm talking about. You're standing there in the store and just, burp, it just comes out. You blame your kids for it, right? That's what it is. It just comes out. It can't stay in. It just comes out. And so he shouted of God's righteousness with joy. You all looking at me like I'm crazy. You all have done that, all right? It was in his heart. Here's something we need to hear, church. You guys ready? What you speak of, what you tell others of, what you praise is a good indication of what's in your heart. Is there something in your life that is on the throne of our hearts taking the place of God? Is there something in our life receiving the praise that He deserves? Let's take time to reflect on that, learn of it. When we have to take that time to learn of who God is and recognize His greatness and meditate on God's goodness and His mighty acts so that they're just going to flow out of you. Verses 8 and 9, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all and His mercies over all His works. David was intentional with his words here. David's going to pull up a little history lesson here. He was intentional with his words here. To the Israelites, these words would have jumped off the page at them and smacked them right in the face. Here's why. They take them back to Moses and God giving them the tablets. Moses is on Mount Sinai receiving word that from the command and the commandments from God. The Lord had just delivered His people from the hands of Egypt, right, from slavery. And then they're being chased, and what happens? The sea parts, right? They see this miracle happen. He had shown Himself. He had shown His greatness to them firsthand. And while Moses is up talking with God, many of the people down below decided to do their own things and make their own idol. They had just witnessed God do the biggest thing they'd ever seen in their life, and they said, that's not enough. We're going to create our own God. They began worshiping a false god. In verse 34, we see the words from the Lord to a people that had blatantly rejected and defied God and placed something else on the throne of their hearts. He says these words, which will sound familiar to the text we just read, Exodus 34, 6 and 7. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquities, transgression, and sin. David is reminding them of God's goodness toward them. God had done great things toward them, and the people sinned against Him, and they rejected Him. Think about that if you were God. Anybody ever made this statement? You better be glad I'm not God, right? Have you ever made that statement? I have. No? Zarina? No? All right. I think most of us, if we were God, might respond to these people that He had just released out of bondage and taken a cross and split the seas open. And just kind of say, all right, you're on your own. I'm done. I saved you. I protected you. I did great things for you. And you decide to respond by casting me aside and making your own idol. I'm done. I think that would be the natural response, but God doesn't do that. He tells Moses of His goodness and His patience. And so this passage reminded them, it reminded us of God and who He is and His greatness. When we remember how good God has been to us, and when we think on His greatness, we rejoice, we sing, and we praise Him. There's no other choice. So this praise for God's greatness begins personally in the heart of David. It spreads to the people throughout generations. Others join in and rejoice of His greatness. And then we see this ever-increasing amount of praise extend to all of God's creation. And some of this is going to sound weird, but it's so awesome at the same time. Verse 10, all your works shall give thanks to You, O Lord, and Your godly ones shall bless You. All His works, all His people, those that follow Him, this covers it all. All that God created, both the creation and the people shall bless Him. It might sound strange, but God says, the Scripture says, that all the earth, the creation, will praise Him. Psalm 19 says this, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. We're not going to read all of that psalm, but I would really encourage you to look back into Psalm 19. It's a powerful passage. Jesus Himself says in Luke 19:40, He says, the rocks will cry out in praise to God. The rocks will cry out. You don't do it? That's okay. That rock will do it. Are you guys with me? Man, all of creation, nature is going to praise God. All those that call God Lord will praise Him. All those who are in heaven and on earth, the angels around the throne, all combine to proclaim His praise forever and ever. David continues, all your works shall give thanks to You, O Lord, and Your godly ones shall bless You. They shall speak of your glory, of your kingdom, and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Verse 13, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Right there in verse 13, David writes of God's kingdom. He's speaking of God's rule over everything at all times. Sometimes we think we can step out and it's like, okay, this is my God time. This is my time. You're still in God's kingdom. You guys with me? John MacArthur says this. He says, God is the eternal king over all, from before creation and eternally thereafter. That's a great God that's beyond our comprehension. And although he is great and ruler over all, he is still a gracious God. Let's walk through these next few verses real quick. And they highlight God's graciousness to those he rules over. Verse 14, we're just going to highlight some of these. The Lord sustains all who fall, and he rises up all who are bowed down. So God in all of his might and his power, he sustains and he lifts up us when we're burdened, when we're heavy laden, and we can't go on. God is lifting us up. He cares about us. The eyes of all look to you, and what? You give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. He provides, church. This God that created things, he's providing. Although he is God and king over all creation, he's able to provide for all of his creation. Church, he is the source of satisfaction for every living thing. That's God. He's the source of satisfaction for every living thing. So why do we try so hard to find our satisfaction in other things? God's enough. Verse 17 through the end, let's just read this. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. The last few verses remind me of this great and powerful God serving as our shepherd. He's near to us. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that, don't we? That God is near to us. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears our cries. He saves us. He keeps us. And we see in here as well that he is a just God. He's a mighty and powerful God. He's a shepherding God. But he's also just. And he can't not be. He's a righteous God. There's no wrong in him. And so it says in verse 20 that he will destroy the wicked. We reject Christ or we receive Christ. And so this is speaking of eternal separation from God in a real place called hell. I know, not a popular term these days. Hell's real, church. And as far as we know, when we look around us, we talk about this a lot. 9 out of 10 people in Tucson are going to spend eternity in hell unless they give their life to Christ. That's the reality in Tucson. 9 out of 10 people do not know Christ in Tucson. It was a place that was never designed for us, for people. It was designed for Satan and his fallen angels, but a place where people that reject Christ and his free gift of salvation will spend eternity. God has zero desire for any of his people, any of his created people to go there. The Bible tells us that God, that Christ, desire all to come to be saved. That's why Jesus came to die for our sins and made a way for us to spend eternity with him. He saw where we were headed. He saw the outcome. He saw what we deserved, and he stepped in. The same God that created the universe, he stepped in. But we have this promise in verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call upon him. What a great passage. Anybody ever called on a friend that just wasn't there? Even a family member that just wasn't there? God is always near to those who call upon him. Just picture this, church. Just picture this. Picture the king. Picture the king and all of his creation giving praise to that king. Why are we praising him? Because of who he is, because of his greatness. And in all of that power and might, we still have Psalm 145, 8 through 9. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and His mercies are over all His works. And when we praise Him to make known to others His mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of His kingdom, as we see in verse 12, right? It's just awesome. We get to praise that God. He is a great God that loves us. I don't know if you guys know this, but this is the last psalm that David writes. Last words are important, right? This is the last psalm that he writes. This is his last opportunity to put something down. Obviously, it's inspired by God. It's God-breathed, but it's going to express all of David's feelings and emotions into one psalm. And what does he do? He writes about the greatness of God. Look at what he says in the last verse. My mouth will speak praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless His holy name forever and ever. Church, the question for us this morning, think about this. What kind of song is your life singing? Is it singing the same praise as David's? Does your life sing of the greatness of God? Are you seeing, are you recognizing, are you meditating on the greatness of God? We have the opportunity to come here this morning. We get to gather together, celebrate what God has done in this past week and be prepared for what's going to happen this next week. We get to open up the Word of God together. We also get to stand and sing together. Now, worship is more than a song, amen? It's our way of life. But we get to do that. We get to stand and sing together. And whether we are at home, in the car, or right here gathered together as a church family, as a church body, church, let us lift His name on high. Let us exalt Him. Let us praise Him. Let us sing like we mean it. Let us sing like we mean it this morning and this week. I'm going to tell you, one of the greatest things I love to hear when I'm wherever I'm standing is when somebody behind me, even when they can't sing, I'm not even being mean, but they can sound like a howling dog. And I love it because they're worshiping God. Are you guys with me? I don't care what y'all sound like. Crank it up, baby. Are you with me? Because God deserves it. He'll fix your voice one of these. You know, we'll get there. And hip, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Some of them. I don't know. Don't let nothing hold you back. Lift your hands and sing the greatness of our God. If you're here this morning and you say, you know what, you've been talking a lot about God, you've been talking about His Word, you've been talking about in our series about that He's involved in all the details and that He's able to do far more abundantly than we can ever pray or think or ask, you might say, I don't know this God. That's not the God I know. The God that I know is the mean God that just demands from me. The God that you're describing that is compassionate and forgiving and full of loving kindness. The God that created all of these things but still wants me. I don't know that God. If you're here today and you can't call God Lord, if you haven't given Jesus your life, if you haven't trusted in Jesus Christ for your salvation, today is the day to begin praising Him for the great work that He wants to do in your life. And for the work that He already accomplished for you on the cross in defeating death. The Bible says for the wages of sin, what we deserve for our sin is death. Eternal separation from a holy God. But God said, I love you that much. I'm going to step aside. Jesus says, I'm going to step aside and I'm going to come down in your mess. I'm going to die your death. And I'm going to raise again so you can have a new life in Christ. We can celebrate the greatness of God. Begin celebrating and praising our great God today if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I would love to, I just want you guys to know that if you don't know Christ today, I would love to, I'll stay for 4 hours and share the gospel with you, man. I mean, you need nothing else but Jesus. Don't leave here today without being able to praise God as your Savior, Jesus as your Savior. I love this passage, Romans 5:8. We have a God that is mighty and powerful and magnificent and bigger than we can ever imagine. But it says this, talking about God's love for us, it says God showed his love for you, for me, for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, we as people, we wait until people apologize. We wait until people get their act together. We wait until people are clean or are ready. But God says, while you were still jacked up, I died for you. If we're here today and we know Christ, what song is our life singing? Are we passing on? Pass those things on. We got Star Wars fans in here. I don't know why, but we do. You know, we got Star... Don't hate me. I'm just kidding. We got all these different fans in here. Now I'm getting looks. Okay. Sports fans, right? And we pass those things on. And that's awesome. Do that. But are we passing God and his greatness on to our kiddos and to our family and our friends? When we come in here, I'm just letting you know, our time of worship through song, it's important. Some of us are like this. Are you with me? We serve a great God that deserves more than we can ever sing. I don't care if you sound like a dying bird or if you have the most angelic voice in the world. Lift it up and just cry out to him in praise. Are you guys with me, church? Man, we serve a great God. Let's pray.